I am unashamed. What about you?
So it feels
go with it.
It feels weird. It's Easter Sunday, but normally, yeah. You know, it's in our neighborhood. Even it's a huge, like, I mean, everybody goes to, obviously we all meet together. Then afterwards, Willie's mother-in-law at her house, they do like this massive Easter egg hunt for the whole neighborhood and people. I mean, there's probably, 40 kids out there running around. They got Easter eggs all over the neighborhood.
Oh, I know. It occurred to me. They told me there used to be another house there, you know, where they live now.
Yeah.
And so Willie's father-in-law, he was like, you need to metal detect this. Well, I went out there and metal detected, but every 5 feet there was, because they put coins in the, they have plastic eggs, you know. Well, the amount of change I found, but it was all, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006. You know, it's just, there's change everywhere. You don't realize when the kid
opens it up and change.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. You got little kids trying to keep up with change and plastic eggs.
where did that ever come from anyway?
I don't know. We need somebody to ask Si. He's always pagan, talking about
it's a pagan holiday or something.
Oh, really? Well, boy.
Well, what did the egg have to do with it?
I think it's Si's mentality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Si's always on this. We're the eternal egg of the... Because that's something what he does about being born again. I never know exactly what he's talking about. Well, really, I don't know what he's talking about anyway. Well, about
he doesn't either.
A lot of people asked me about that when Si was on here last. Dad, you weren't here. He said something, but he had this old big epiphany about the piercing the eternal egg. And, you know, people were asking.
You don't understand what someone is saying. And I don't understand what someone is saying, and he doesn't understand what he's saying. That's right. That pretty well is clean sweep.
Well, I thought about it, you know.
So people were like, do you think he meant this? And I was like, look, I don't know what he meant. You know, that's just, you'd have to get into the mind.
You listen, you grin, and you move on.
There's two things about Easter that always dumbfounded me. One was the Easter egg, which now eggs are one of the biggest commodities there.
During the pandemic, yeah.
Well, yeah. I guarantee you people are not going to boil them and go throw them out in your yard. Because there's people that will just scream and run over you with a buggy to get a dozen of them. So that's not going to happen. And the other thing was, you know, why people wear all the bright colors on the Sunday morning? What is the deal about dressing up? Which our family never did. I mean, my wife to this day gets upset because my wardrobe is limited. So...
Dad's in
there. I don't even want to get into wardrobe.
What's the fascination with wearing all the bright?
Somehow that caught on. It was just like it's springtime, and so you wanted all these pastel colors, and you know, it's a good probably was marketed by a lot of smart people to get you to go buy a lot of new clothes.
I mean, I think so.
That sounds like the most quoted
verse in my family, in my marriage, in the last 29 years has been, God does not judge by external appearance. He looks at the heart. Because she'll lay my clothes out.
It's true. True statement.
And I'll say, why? Where did that come? Those are not mine. She said, well, I bought those for you for Easter. I'm like, why?
I've heard that was a waste of money. Who make suits, the clothes make the man.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what he has on makes him. I'm like, no.
Well, I told my wife, I said, I want to give you a bumper sticker for dealing with me. I've done this to her at least 5 times. I said, and when you're shopping online now, remember this, Jace doesn't do pastels. That'll help you.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand the flat piece of cloth to wrap it around your neck and cinch it up against your Adam's apple, a knot. You have a knot, and they show people at a time, and they begin to to the first stages of hanging themselves and push that knot right up against their Adam's apple, and they stay that way all day long.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, why would you put your – it looks like to me that would lower your brain power, your enthusiasm.
Well, that makes
sex drive.
You have a rope around your neck.
Yeah. No wonder you're so
That's
miserable.
How they kill people. They hang them by the neck.
Well, you know where that came from.
I don't know where it came from.
No, in the Old West – you know, they would try to tie up everything to keep the dust.
Correct.
From yeah, so that's why they would wear the face mask and the bandana, and they come up with a tie because they didn't want to get that dirt down under their collar.
It was probably the bolero first.
So it started out protection.
Yeah, and now
it had a practical start.
Well, now they say, you know, why you wear a tie is because if you're dealing with someone's money, which is in the professional, you should wear a tie. That's the rule. That's a stock market.
Or apparently.
That's a stock market quote, but that's what they say.
What do they say?
When they say you, when you talk about people's money, you should have a tie on.
If you don't have a tie on, then they won't.
That is why I've never bought a tie or a suit. You just hit on it right there. You mean if you, the ones with the coat and ties, those are the ones I am watching them like a hawk.
They say if you talk about
when
someone,
they step in the room, I'm like, yeah.
They say if you want to talk about money, you better have a tie on.
But I have to say they're probably right because here's the thing. So, Des, you're a stock market guy, but if I get somebody in here, some couple, and they say, you know, we want to invest $500,000, and so I said, well, we're going to send in a couple of guys to talk to you about that. And so Randy Kirby walks in looking like the stockbroker, and you walk in looking like you. Guess who they're going to listen to?
Yep.
Not him. So they're right.
That's unfortunate.
It's a cultural norm. That's what we're talking about here.
Speaking of that, quit sending me. Look, I love our viewers. I love y'all. I really do appreciate it. Quit saying pick your top five stocks. I'm going to give y'all some stock advice right now.
Oh boy, here we go.
No, I'm just saying.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
This is for you, and we can put this on record. If you want to get into the stock market, you buy at least 15 stocks, so you're diversified, and maybe one fund, ETF fund, look it up, you'll figure it out, and then just leave it. That's it. Check back 20 years, and you can thank me then if I'm still alive. So that answers all the questions. You're not going to do what I'm doing or other people where you watch it, you know, and you get engrossed in it. That's my stock advice for you. So don't give me any more emails about, you know, should I sell this stock? I'm not going to give you that advice.
My stock advice is zero goose egg.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in because now, I mean, look, I get it. If you're paying these brokerages fees, and then you're looking at your account, you're losing money. I realize the discomfort you feel, but you will long-term make some money. Will you make more without them if you know what the heck you're doing? Yes, but it takes a lot of time and work, and most people don't have that kind of time, effort, and work. So stay out of it. Buy 15 stocks. The top stocks is easy to figure out. Maybe one ETF. Wait 20 years. I mean, you forget about it for 20 years. Come back, and you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, I told Lisa, she's opening up our, you know, 401k. I said, don't even read that right now. That's just going to depress you. I mean,
well, the part
we've had a pandemic.
The part of his speech that bumps me out is that I don't have another 20 years.
Well, right.
I may live to 94.
Well, so your mom lived to 96.
Well, you never know.
Of course, you know, if you make it past 78, you realize you'll be the longest living of your siblings because Jimmy Frank was 78 when he passed, when he had a heart attack. And he's the oldest one. None of your siblings.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you can make it to 78, you'll break.
Well, what you can do, Phil, is if you're at your age and you want to make a little money, if you have more money than you think you'll spend, you can put those in some high conservative dividend stocks, and they will give you that money.
You won't lose it.
It's pretty safe. And but you know, in your case, what do you need money for? So I would carry on.
Yeah, I'm just.
Well, you do spend a little bit of money. How much does it cost when you have to pump up our Ducco? How much does that cost?
Well, that's thousands of dollars because it's fuel.
10 grand.
Yeah. So I mean, that's fuel. That's just a pump up. That's
mainly fuel.
Yeah. Or if you have to buy a new piece of equipment, some of your stuff's pretty expensive. So you are spending, but you're working. You're 70, about to be 74, and you're working too.
By the way, I'm not 74 yet. I will be 74 on April the 24th.
Yeah.
Which
it's coming up.
That was my first birth. So you're like, 74. So I'm looking around like, well,
how fast did it go by?
I don't have any aches or pain. Oh, it was, it's like James said, it was a mist, a vapor. Gone.
Yeah. You said you don't have any aches and pains, but you have in the last 6 months.
Because we chronicled
them. You've described them in detail, and it really has made me, cringe.
His bicep is a unicep.
Every female that's listening to my voice, honey, all I want to tell all of you females, thank God every time you get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for not giving us a prostate like you did the males. Because you're way better off without one. Trust me when I tell you.
No, that's funny. I don't care.
When that prostate acts up on you, you girls don't have to worry about it. Of course, every time I tell a woman that, you know what they tell me? Yeah, we're the ones that have the children. You know,
I was gonna say they're gonna trump your prostate with an ovary. So yeah,
you need to thank God because you don't have to bear children. I said, I know it. I'd bear one. That'd wind that up.
No, when I saw that, that was one of the most.
It changed my life.
Oh, when I saw my wife, number one, her body go through this transformation.
Yeah.
And number two, I didn't even know she had that dark side in her. Not dark as in like sinful, but I mean, because she's never raised her voice to me in our marriage at all, except at the birth of our children. I mean, she's like, hey, give me some ice.
No. She's barking orders. Oh, yeah.
So
I'm like,
little Karen Bromley from church, little meek, mild woman. So Lisa and I were there the night because they're our neighbors. We were there the night she had her first baby. And so we were in there, we're getting ready to leave. We're just kind of checking on, praying for him. And she's having her contractions, you know. And so her husband, Bromley, who works for the church now, he was like, you remember your breathing? And, he's giving her all this Lamaze stuff.
Who was doing this?
This is her husband, Bromley. Yeah. He's giving her all this stuff. And she's looking, at him, and she'd be going through all these things.
I offered no advice when I saw the one. I didn't watch you being born out, not you, Jace. Si hollered at me from the riverbank.
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Kay's having that baby. And I'm baiting up a trot line. And I said, what do you want me to do about it? I said, I can't help her.
That doesn't make it any better.
That's right. But when Jep came along, I did watch that one, and someone says, what happened? I said, here's what happened. I watched Jep come forth from the womb, and I saluted womanhood worldwide. I saluted all women and said, I will never take that for granted on what they go through to have children.
Well, this little meek mild woman, who I've never seen her raise her voice in that moment, he kept on. He was just pop, 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 pop. You know, he was just trying to help, but she finally looked at him and she said, shut up. Yeah. I mean, just it was like a demon. I looked and it scared me. Well, I was like, whoa, okay, Lisa, I think we need to go. I was like, we've stayed too long.
I've told Missy many times since then, I'm like, you need to go childbearing on this person. She knows what I mean, because I'm like, there's something in there. Yeah. I know you, because she'll be frustrated with the situation. And I say, go childbirth on her.
A woman is a lot tougher than I thought after I watched that.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay, where were we at?
Hang on. Perfect lead in to the resurrection.
Yeah, hang on. We got to take a break and let's jump in. So, I'm excited about these guys at ExpressVPN. We've talked about them quite a bit before. I love talking about technology things with Dab because, of course, a virtual private network, would that connect with you, Dab? Would you?
A virtual private network.
Virtual private network.
What does it mean?
You take faith and apply it, you can get it, because faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So virtual private network, there's a network even though you don't see it.
Correct.
It's there.
It's there protecting.
And these people help you.
Your data.
Build a virtual wall.
Your data. And I'm excited about it because I've got it, and I've got it on my computer. And so I'm excited to finally have my data better
protected. Tell us what they do.
So basically, they protect your all these security threats, things you don't know. People are trying to break in and hack, and they put the wall up around your network. So here's what you have to do.
Break in and hack, not meaning breaking into your house, breaking into your
virtual world.
Your computer data, world.
Everything you have on your computer.
I got you.
So, same idea about protecting your house. You have your methods for that. These guys take care for in the digital world. So you can go to expressvpn.com/Phil, which is always great because there's Phil right here in this world. expressvpn.com/Phil. You get an extra 3 months for free, which is awesome, and you protect your internet with the VPN. So it's expressvpn.com/Phil. Check it out today.
Because really, when you start analyzing your body as you get older, Phil, it's good that it's Easter Sunday.
So we asked, there were some questions asked about the resurrection body, which we talked about last time, on the idea of, you know, are we physical versus spiritual? And so we talked a lot about that from 1 Corinthians 15. But when we talk about the resurrection, of course, you have to look at Jesus first, because 1 Corinthians 15, remember, he was called the first fruits of this new opportunity.
Which, what does that imply?
Yeah, exactly.
More to come.
And he did a little sample test with his old buddy Lazarus, you know, and that was right before he was going to die and be raised again. And I've always thought, you know, the reason, because he waited until he died, you know, then he goes there and they're like, man, if you'd have been here 3 days ago, you could have saved him. He's like, well, come out here. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you a cool trick. You know, and so after 4 days, he says, Lazarus, come out of that tomb. And he does. And of course, they're all thinking he's going to be like a zombie. And he, you know, he took off all his grave clothes. No problem. No big deal. So he was kind of just showing. But Lazarus died again. He was showing what he was about to do. Mm-hmm. And look, no, if anybody can do that, when you can raise the dead, you get your, you know, that's attention grabbing.
And death comes through a man, as in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. So in Christ, all will be made alive, each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end to come, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So you get to looking at it, you say, we have one person, one chance to get beyond the grave, and this is it.
Right.
I've never read this anywhere else, in any book anywhere. Have you?
Nope.
So you look at that.
I think it's better than a chance. It's a guarantee.
Yep.
But in Matthew 10, you know, Jesus sent out these men to spread, you know, spread the knowledge, hey, the Messiah is here, the Son of God. Well, they were threatening them. And, you know, it takes me back to when I was in the Ukraine some 20-something years ago. We started, the wall comes down, the church moves in. Hey, let's plant some churches. Well, during that transition over there, when they got wind that large crowds were following after us, because we were feeding them, it was a humanitarian crisis. But then we would share Jesus, and, you know, we played basketball, and we were doing different things to draw crowds. Well, the government officials got wind of that, and basically what happened here in Matthew 10 is what happened to us. They're like, you shut this down, or we'll put you in jail, or kill you. I mean, there was no sugarcoating it. Now they were supposedly free. When we started sharing Jesus and large crowds started gathering up, they're like, no, shut this down. Mm-hmm. So what was so profound about that is I looked at the missionary. I was like, well, I guess that wraps this up. You know, I hate to get back to the USA, but he was like, oh, no, we'll just move locations, which is what we did, which was very frightening, I guess. You know, I was only in my early 20s, and I wasn't as fired up as I should have been because, I mean, I was nervous about it. I was fearful. But I think in Matthew 10, with what we're going to talk about today, this is a really good paragraph, especially even in the fears of the coronavirus. I mean, some people, especially those without Jesus, without any of them, they're terrified.
Oh, yeah.
But when you read this, he says in Matthew 10:26, he says, so don't be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. So don't even be scared of anything that they can come up with that may, you know, that you think you're missing out or you don't know what's going to happen. Because then he clarifies and he says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. You say, well, what is it? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father, which is an awesome thought.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you don't think I don't think you're valuable. Look, if a sparrow runs into your plexiglass and dies, he knows about it. And then he says, and even with the very hairs of your head, they're all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. I just think that's a
what a
fantastic view on life about. And there's a lot of confusion in there, you might seem. And we've talked about fear before where you don't, I've said this many times, you know, it says don't be afraid. He doesn't want you to fear because, you know, you know God. But in the same vein, we do fear God because he knows us. You know, I mean, because we're, we do get off and we do make mistakes. And so there's a balance there of how, you know, we live life. But the bottom line is overall, oh, we're going to trust God because he controls body and soul.
Well, we had there's a couple of questions I want us to deal with today, and which deal with this subject. It's sort of post resurrection. One of them comes from Travis, and he said, "Here's my question I've wrestled with over several years." He said, "Here's what he says. First off, I do not want my Lord to suffer or be in hell. I'm very glad he's in heaven. What I don't understand is that he became sin, and we mentioned that before. What is it?" 2 Corinthians 5, that says God made him, 18, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us.
Yeah.
So here's the question. What I don't understand is if he became sin so that he could die to pay for our sins, why did he not have to go to hell to complete the payment of that debt, which is our debt? I understand he did suffer so much, but so he has a hard time accepting that idea about taking on sin. And that brought me to something. Jason and I, when we were in school, we had heard this teaching that he did go to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that from, was it 1 Peter 3?
Well, let me read it out. Right, I think people will be confused by this. And look, this is a deep water. let me warn you, this will make your head hurt. But there are a few passages that seem to imply that when Jesus died, something happened in the unseen world.
Right.
Because, look, you got to remember from a theological standpoint before I read this, most people just think heaven and hell. But there's, in the Greek language, the word for, what is it, Sheol? Well, where the, this, or paradise. Yeah. You remember?
Hades.
Yeah, Hades, where you have, I think Sheol is actually the hell. But, yeah, what you said, what was the one you just
Hades.
Said? Hades is like the...
That's a Greek word.
Transitional place for the dead?
That's what it would be.
I guess that's a good way to describe it. So look, I don't want to go too deep into this, but when you read 1 Peter 3, here's what it says. In verse 18, it says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit," which is why I read the Matthew 10.
Right.
But then it says, "through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah." Now then he gets to a point about how baptism, you know, is the reenaction of the death, burial, and resurrection. But you read that one little phrase and you're like, well, did he do that while he was dead? Is that what the three days?
Yeah, that was the assumption. Yeah. That kind of built this teaching that that happened. Of course, when I read it, I never even went there. My thought was Jesus was around back when, you know,
speaking through Moses
and Noah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying is, I never got into that thought, but because I see it for just straight up what it was. But people have built that up. Another one is Ephesians 4, where it says he ascended on high, took many captives, gave gifts to his people. So the idea was there's a teaching that says he went into hell and then brought people out of hell.
Well, let me give you another one in that vein. 2 Corinthians 12:3, when Paul was saying, and I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise, which is that same word that when Jesus told the thief on the cross, you remember he said, today you will be with me in paradise. So there's some place that we go. I mean, my opinion, just being practical, is that if you have the Holy Spirit of God and you're going to be resurrected because you have your body will come up. So when Jesus, when it says, 1 Thessalonians 4, Jesus will bring with him those who have died or fallen asleep in him. Well, what's he bringing?
Their bodies are on the earth, so he's not bringing their bodies.
Well, the next verse says, and the dead in Christ will be raised. Well, so it seems to infer we have two parts of the anatomy over one timing. He's bringing the souls.
Souls.
Sure.
The body is raising. And then it says, and so we will meet the Lord in the air. So the body comes up. I'm assuming they unite. It'll probably be a better racket than that. And then it's, then you will have, now we go back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago. You now have a functional body like Jesus had in the first John 3.
An immortal body.
So now you can eat fish, not to stay alive, just for the heck of it.
Just to enjoy it. Hang on, Dave. Let's take a break. So one of the things that's going on with the coronavirus has made it interesting in the gun world, because you got gun stores and ammo has been through the roof through this whole thing that's been going on. Of course, there's some states that have shut down. It's not essential, and others haven't. So the ones that haven't, you got a lot of people getting a lot of weapons, getting a lot of ammo. And it makes sense because, you know, people get scared. They're fearful. And they're thinking people.
Well, I think they're looking at worst case scenario.
Exactly.
People running through the streets, you know, turns into some kind of weird Mad Max movie.
So here's one of the things that happens. So you got a lot of, got to run on gun ranges. That's something you can do in the social distancing thing we're doing. So you can't, nobody can reserve time at a gun range. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of woods like we have.
It's so one thing to have a gun and ammo in case, you know, zombie apocalypse, but you better be pretty good with it.
You got to be able to know how to use it.
Yeah.
So, look, thankfully, we've got our good friends at iTarget Pro, which basically is an app and then a laser bullet. And so you can set this bad boy up with your phone right there in your living room, wherever, and you can do target practice, which is really cool. So it's a laser bullet that goes into your weapon. And look, they've got everything. So you're basically learning how, you're dry firing, but you're learning how to shoot. And then it's going to tell you whether you're on target or not, that your phone is on, through the app. So it's a great idea. It's a great product. We love it. Comes in all major calibers, 223, 556, everything. Right now you can get 10% off plus free shipping if you use the offer code PHIL. So it's a great chance to save a load of money, to get to practice. iTargetPro.com. That's iTargetPro.com. And the offer code is PHIL. So sign up, get it to your phone, and get to practicing.
Then you can use one of my famous sayings. If you shoot at me, you better not miss.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think to go back to Travis's specific question, what we're saying is that because he told the thief, today I'll be with you in paradise, I don't think there's anything that says, you know, distinctly he went to hell. I got the references. No. They say that. No. But here's my thing to Travis. He wouldn't really have to go to hell to pay the price for sin. I mean, in other words, him being deity and man, therefore he, and he never broke the law, then his sacrifice was the competent thing to pay for our sins. You don't have to go to hell to do that.
The Spirit of God in the 1 Peter 3 back there, just to clarify, because Jason never actually stayed there.
Yeah.
When Noah was preaching to the people, telling them there was going to be a big water, there's a flood coming, because they were ridiculing him. What are you doing building a boat of that size, right, on dry ground? Are you crazy?
Right.
And he was preaching to them. The Spirit of God was speaking through Noah to the individuals who were alive. And when Peter wrote about it, he was simply saying, now all that's left of them, they were all drowned but eight.
Right.
They are the spirits in prison. They're the ones who said, we're not going to rely on God. I mean, their every thought was evil. And Noah's trying to tell them, look, there's a big water coming. And they said, you idiot, here? Right. And he said, it's coming right here. And it's going to save me, because I'm going to be in that boat. So you either need to get a boat or get out of my face, because the water's coming. Well, that was the Spirit of God speaking to Noah to the people of that day. When he alludes to that right here, he says, now they're the spirits of, is all left of them. They're in the place Jace is talking about. It's Hades. It's Sheol. That's where they all are.
And our assumption has always been that you're there and unaware. And there was another question asked about that.
Yeah.
Well, now you got the story about Samuel, which...
Well, I was going to mention that. Yes, it's Samuel, let me set the story. It's in 1 Kings. Right. It's in 1 Kings, and Saul, who was the king, he was the first king, but he wasn't really God's king, which is a whole long story. But so he wanted to know what to do. Well, Samuel, the prophet, had already died. So he's not spiritual minded, so he didn't know what to do. So he gets a medium, which is really interesting. I mean, he gets a person who says she can conjure up.
Which does seem to validate some of the stuff you see today.
Well, right, I mean, because she pulled it off. Now again, the Almighty could have been doing it through her, because he wanted to make a statement.
That's true, before you panic.
Yeah, before you panic.
And I know this from Revelation 21:8. You don't want to be on that side in the end.
That's right.
Because
not good.
No, you're not.
So it is interesting that right after he mentioned that through the Spirit, that he through whom the Spirit, he went and preached to the spirits in prison, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, who they disobeyed long ago. All that's left of them now is their spirits. Because they all drowned.
That's true. But Phil, the timing of it was right. It says Jesus did it right at, I mean, like in between his death and resurrection. I mean, it does seem to infer that. I mean,
that's why that started. I understand that.
Well, let Al finish his point though on the king.
So here's what happens. So Samuel, who's a prophet, so he shows up, his some form of him, spirit, or I don't know, but they knew it was him. And basically, he's like, why are you disturbing me? That was what he said. You brought me back.
And but if you read the points, Al, he was aware of current events.
I know. That's what's very curious about that. So, and then he basically gives Saul a rebuke. He's like, all right, well, since I'm here, here's what's going to happen to you. And none of it was good.
But well, also look at Moses. Now, we know he died because there was a dispute over his body. He's up on a mountain with Jesus. What, 1,000 years later? Having a conversation.
I was fixing to bring that
he
up.
And Elijah
having
both.
A conversation. Well, what in the world happened? They left the place, wherever this place is, the paradise, or if you were outside of Jesus, what would be the opposite of paradise?
I think it was a glimpse. God is showing you when Jesus is standing there and you have Elijah and Moses and they're just talking. Well, they're in there. They've already been given their immortal bodies to show us that God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Remember the burning bush?
Right. Well, but he also said, but to him, all are alive.
But to him, all of them are alive.
Because there will
be
justice.
Well, when you see him standing there, it's just a picture of what it's going to be like. He gave them a little jump start, gave us a jump start, saying, look, this body, soul, I can do with that anything I want to do.
Right.
If you believe in me, Jesus said, even if you die, yet shall you live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Well, when you look at it like that, you're like, whoa, watch. Right after 1 Peter 3:21, you get to 1 Peter 4:4. The people think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they'll have to give an account to him who's ready to judge, listen, the living, the ones who are alive physically at the time, and the dead, the ones nothing but spirits. This is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. That's what 1 Peter 3 is talking about. So that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. He's saying if you don't see the spiritual part, the soul part, mm-hmm. you'll really be confused about physical death. God yeah. says, listen, son died. Oh, he was alive. He just was going to show you how to beat physical death. You're still correct. Alive. You just are outside your body.
Yeah, I don't see why people have such a problem with this.
Me either.
Because look, if he created the first man out of dust, what was coming back even though you supposedly
he
died?
He breathed life into dirt.
What's the difference?
Made a human being. You're like, whoa.
I want to read something.
Hang on, Jason. Let's take a break before you read that. So do y'all have like a morning routine? I mean, do you wake up and do the same thing every day?
All routines have been upset because of the pandemic. But I got up this morning and looked around and I looked in the mirror and I said, when I saw me in the mirror, whoa, I said, I think I'm going to wash my head. So I stuck my head. I just got on my knees and stuck my head under the water and got me some shampoo, the whole works. Well,
whatever
you know.
I was going to say,
first time
it's
in
not as
10
good as
days,
that.
10 days I had not washed
maybe,
my hair.
Maybe that was the wrong question. Well, yeah. So I read that top performers in business and sports, they attribute their success in a morning routine. And most of the time, non-pandemic, people are really busy. So sometimes you don't always have a chance to hydrate. And it's important to hydrate. I didn't realize that 75% of the people walking around, you see them, they're dehydrated.
Now look, hydration in my mind is get on the black ripple and get you a shot of that so strong it'll just stand up under itself. You're like, you take a couple of snorts of that and you are hydrated and ready to go, Al.
Well, I got something even better to go along with your black rifle. There's a product called Hydrant Dab. We got to get you. It's got electrolyte packets. You mix it in with your water, and basically, it's going to put your electrolytes in there. It's going to help you to be able to jumpstart your day with hydration. So Hydrant starts at about $1 a pack for a 30-day supply, and so you're going to get some percentage off if you'll mention us. Add 25% off for your first order. DrinkHydrant.com. You enter the promo code Phil. So we're going to get Phil hydrated along with his Black Rifle coffee. We're going to get him some Hydrant.
Al, by the way, we are under a pandemic. Can you see electrolytes? Because that's supposed to get them going. What exactly are electrolytes?
I don't know what they are. I'm no doctor. But
you can see the effects.
That's right.
If you see a guy who's running down the road.
He's full of electrolytes.
He's not getting tired. He's barely sweating. You can think, he's well hydrated.
DrinkHydrant.com, promo code Phil, 25% off your first order. DrinkHydrant.com, promo code Phil. Let's get hydrated and run.
I'm going to read an obscure passage that goes along with what you just said. Right after he goes through, Jesus will bring with him the spirits that have fallen asleep, the dead will be raised. Just, you feel like this is in the closing comments of 1 Thessalonians 5, but he makes an interesting statement. He says, may God himself, 5:23, the God of peace, sanctify you, set you apart. From who? From everybody else. Through and through, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I love this 24, because then if you struggle with how this is going to happen, he basically gives you the answer in the next verse. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It's such a crazy verse to me, because it's like we really struggle with how this is all going to come together. And then at the end of describing the details of when Jesus comes back and your body and your soul and spirit's going to be reunited. You know, we read 1 Corinthians 15 in previous podcast, the body is changed, but it's not exchanged. It's still a body, just like Jesus was eating fish and going through walls, but it's some kind of body that we can't relate. And we're like, well, how is all this going to come together? And he's like, he's faithful. He'll pull
the
it
way
off.
Peter called it. We mentioned this in one of our other podcasts, but I'll bring it up again. 2 Peter 1, verse 15. I think it's right to refresh your memory. Now, wait, look at his idea of the body, soul, and spirit. I want to refresh your memory. As long as I live in the temporary dwelling of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, my physical body, my tent I'm just staying in right now. Got another one coming. That'll be an eternal one. Watch.
Just 2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah. This is 2 Peter.
Oh.
I will soon put it aside, his body now, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, because he told Peter, you're going to die a rough death, son. Watch. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, well, what can be depart? They're going to crucify him upside down and kill him. You say, well, boy, he's got a rough time coming. He said, no, it's just me departing from my body. So the question is, going back to don't worry about the ones who can kill the body, they killed his body. They killed the Apostle Paul's body. Well, how could Peter look at it and say, it's nothing but my departure? Well, that's the part of you, your soul and your spirit, that goes to be with the Lord. And at the final day, he's just bringing you back.
Yep.
To retrieve your body. That's all he's doing.
Well, to get back to his question,
uplifting, Al.
Mm-hmm. What's bothersome to me about the question, not that you asked it, but just your conclusions on it. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5, which is basically what you just read, meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. You know, when we're clothed, we will not be found naked. You know, for while we're in the tent, we groan in a burden. You know,
while we're in the what?
The tent.
The tent. He's on the same
way. Then he gets to verse 5 and says, it's God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, as a deposit guarantee of what is to come. But now, later on, he gets all the way to the last verse in chapter 5, which is verse 21, because he's talked about how Jesus made this happen in the new creation, and we're now ambassadors for Christ. Well, he says, God made him who had no sin, which was, this is what the question was about, to be sin for us. But if you'll notice where it says sin, it has a little letter. Mine has an A, and it says, or be a sin offering. Because you got to remember something, this question was concluding that Jesus became sin, so he went to hell. But Jesus had no sin.
None.
Hebrews 4, 1 Peter 5, 0 sin. Because his nature, you're now addressing God's nature. Well, in him is 100% light. There's no darkness, none. There's no sin. He's also life, which is tying in what we're talking about with the resurrection. And that the same principle applies like for love. Mm-hmm. He can't just love some people and not the rest, because his nature is he is love.
He's love.
He is sinless. So to try to make that analogy to get Jesus to go into hell, you violated one of the fundamental principles of who God is, which is that he is sinless. He is incapable.
The wages of sin is death. Since Jesus had no sin, he conquered death that very fact.
That's why Peter, when he preached his sermon, said it was impossible for Jesus' body to see decay.
That's right.
Because it was trying to violate two fundamental principles of God, is that he is life. He can't die.
Can't die.
And he has no sin. It's impossible. He's not going to sin. So what I'm saying is I've thrown out that theory because it violated one of the fundamental natures of God. That's why when I hear some kind of false doctrine come up about, and I don't want to get into the details of it. Y'all know, because it kind of, there was a crew that kind of went through some of our church members, you know, where God only loves some people. Well, that you're violating a fundamental principle of the nature of God. No, he loves everybody. And what that forces you to do, if you never...
He so loved the world, he sent Jesus.
All right. But they'll say, well, yeah, but that's his world. You know, I mean, I've argued with these people. But you know where I'll bring up an issue where it becomes practical with us. It's like, and I remember through the years in the immaturity of some of our faith, you look at a murderer or a child molester or, you know, whatever the sin is, and people say, well, God doesn't love him. And that comes from because their sin is so egregious that you're like, well, I've read the Bible that, well, and then you get in the difference in loving the person, that's why he made them, and then hating what they do, which is a fundamental thing that I think most religious people agree with. But somehow or another, they attack the very nature of God when all of a sudden they just say, God does not love that person. Well, he's incapable of functioning like that. So I hope that helps.
So let's take one last break, and then I've got a point to make over that.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So we dealt with this in a previous podcast, but I think the question that comes out of the question is, well, why the 3 days? But we've talked about that before. In other words, if you can't kill God, why did he stay in that? Mm-hmm. Why did his body stay in that tomb 3 days? But we talked about that before. The burial was to prove that
removes all doubt
that he went through the process. Exactly right. So that it wasn't so he could go to hell, you know, which is kind of this theory, but it was just to prove that he was God. Because, you know, his body never saw decay. So we know that.
I mean, I think I shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again because it was a really tense moment. You know, a lot of people who pursue the miraculous gifts in life, the problem with that kind of theory is, and pursuit, and look, I'm saying if God wants to do something, he can do it. I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe that things happen that are unexplainable and, you know, I'm all for it. But if that's where your pursuit is, what the problem with that is, you know, I shared Jesus with a fellow. His life was a disaster. He makes a decision to put his faith in Jesus. But the church that he had gone to, they were more in pursuit of the miraculous, and they didn't like somebody like me coming in there and like pursuing one of their members. Well, I mean, this guy's life was a wreck. Now, he might have been a member of that church, but he wasn't a member of Jesus. He was beating his wife. He was getting drunk every other night. I mean, this guy was just a problem. So, but the fella gets torn in between the two religions in his mind, me and this other fella. And he's like, well, why don't y'all just get together and talk and I'll figure out which one to go with? Horrible idea. I should not have gone along with this, but I did.
I was there too.
And so this guy comes in. And he starts challenging me to do something miraculous. Well, I'm looking at the list, and we were in, what is it, Mark 16. It said, these signs will accompany those. You handle deadly snakes. I'm like, I'm out on that, you know, because I don't mind drink risking poison. My life. Well, the drink poison is the one I chose. And I said, look, now I'm not going to do it because I have my faith and trust in Jesus. He's going to save me, even if I die. And I'm quoting the verses what we're talking about today. But this guy wanted to, like, do a sign to see who was from God. It reminded me of that story in the Old Testament where they were trying to figure out who was legit. Remember, they were lighting the censers and all, and then God's man basically just burned everybody that wasn't with the true prophet.
After he covered it with water in a drought. That was Elijah. Yeah.
But we got right to the moment of the, because the guy in the middle, he was like, well, I got some battery acid out there in the truck. You know, we'll just settle this. I was like, look, you don't put the Lord God to the test. This, you know, I'm bowing out saying it's not about that. It's about, have you surrendered to Jesus, and is your life representing that? Because I was rebuking this pastor from this church, because I was like, you don't even know what this guy's doing. He's beating his wife. He's a drunk. I was saying that in front of him, man. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sugarcoating anything. We're trying to get this guy in Jesus, get the Holy Spirit, so he will quit breaking the law. And you're obsessed with trying to find some miraculous gift in this to figure out who's legit. Yeah. I was like, you're so far off. I mean, look, I'm just picking one guy that I met. Maybe he was crazy. I don't know. But that was the issue. But then he was acting like he was going to drink this battery acid.
Did he? No.
But he got right up to the point. And I was like, if you drink that battery acid, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. And I'm not going to make a salvational judgment on you. I hope you make it. But I know this. If you drink that, you're going to die right here in front of us. And he was just looking like, I mean, he wanted to, like, it's kind of like a game of chicken. You go first. You know, you go first, and I'll tell you what, if you live, we'll just follow you.
That's,
you know,
a tough deal. That's like the old days, and they'd say sink them with some rocks. And they'd say, well, if they drown, then they were innocent. But if they pop up, you know, they're guilty. Well, hang them. I mean, that's a tough way to turn out.
A lot of viewers think this is preposterous to think in America this would be going on in a living room. I was a part of it.
I was there.
What is going on here? You know, I mean, are you crazy?
We probably should have prefaced this whole conversation with the idea that what we did today with these questions was sort of, we painted a picture that we get from Old Testament, New Testament, a lot of things here that, but remember, anything in the afterlife, ultimately, we don't know exactly what's going on. I mean, we're assuming maybe people have an awareness. We don't know. We're saying, you know, this is what it may be like. We don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, to me, when it comes to the question of heaven and hell and what is it going to exactly be like and where do we be, it's a lot of conjecture. I mean, we're kind of painting a narrative from these passages. We do know this for sure, that when you die, there will be a resurrection. And we'll live again. That much we know as a matter
of fact. And remember Matthew 10, everything that hasn't been disclosed will. And I've read many times Deuteronomy 29:29. It says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Look, God has made a way to reveal Jesus to us. That is our purpose on the earth. He uses us despite our flaws. And that is God revealing what you need to know. You get life and you get it eternal.
It's worth mentioning that only one species, only one, humans, they're the only ones that are into these matters.
Right.
And are able to read, contemplate. You know, the Bible says God set eternity in the hearts of men.
Right.
He put that in us. Dogs are not worried about the resurrection. Horses are not worried about the resurrection. None of the animal world is worried or even gives. This is not part of their agenda.
Right. Phil, I thought, I saw that movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah. I hope there are dogs in heaven.
Thank you.
The bottom line is, you say, why is it just humans? They have old writings. Mm-hmm. We've all read them. When we got to this story, we're like, whoa, 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 whoa here. So we looked, and our calendar is dated on Jesus Christ, and you're thinking, you know.
Which, by the way, you brought up something interesting. We do share with animals we have spirits and they have a spirit. Yeah. They don't have a soul. That's the difference. That's why that third component is so important. You know, dogs have a spirit, and some of them are high spirit, you know, and some of them are low
spirit. Our last dog that died, our kids did the funeral. They wanted to do a funeral service, you know, and they did. But it was weird how they took control and basically shared what we believe about Jesus about that dog. Well, he's in heaven now. It was all the same. You know, it's crazy. You don't really think they're watching you until something they love and they want to see again.
And you wonder, why is that in the hearts? And I'm pointing to my head here. Why is that in the hearts of men? Yeah. Where'd it come from?
Yeah, it has to be.
Good, evil, hell, heaven. You say, where'd all that come from?
It has to be.
Trust in Jesus, and you may not understand it, but you'll be pleasantly surprised when you look up. Yeah. You remember that story of Lazarus and the beggar? When you look up and it's over, you don't want to be thinking, uh-oh, I screwed up here.
No.
Well, and that's we'll close with a question, actually, because I want to get to it. I don't know if we'll get to it again. It's someone anonymous said, sent in a question that they grew up in a Buddhist household, and he or she said they've lately been thinking about converting to Christianity. And here's what they said: but the only thing stopping me is that I can't get past believing in heaven or hell or the existence of one. And here's why: because I believe in reincarnation. Then the question is, can I become a Christian and not believe in heaven or hell? Which is not the right question. The question is, can I become a Christian and believe in reincarnation? Because nowhere is that in the Bible.
Yeah.
Therein lies the problem. If you believe in reincarnation, you don't believe in the resurrection. So,
but what I would tell them is that if you surrender to Jesus,
that's right.
Even though you have this narrative that you want to believe, I say be pleasantly surprised. Because I've always said it's not about the destination. That's why I believe so much about heaven and hell is fuzzy in the Bible.
That's right.
Because that is not your motivation for surrendering to Jesus. Your motivation is Jesus. That's why he said, I'm the way. You remember when he said, in my Father's house are many rooms, you know? So what do our churches do? They write a song saying, I got a mansion over the hilltop. I'm like, you missed the point. It's not about a mansion. It's about who's in it.
That's right.
That's why the house doesn't make you happy. The people in the house. Man, right. You could be living in a van down by the river as
on a steady diet of government cheese and butter,
that's the right. Late Chris Farley said. But I'll tell you this: when you look up and it's over, and when you're one of the spirits in this world and you're waiting on the resurrection, and whether you're aware or not, you won't be feeling real good if you're outside of Jesus. And if you are, you'll be thinking, boy, this is paradise, because it's only going to get better.
Yep.
Great discussion. Happy Easter. So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.